Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Wednesday, July 26th, 2023. Mike Adams here. We have a studio interview coming up with the Patriot Street Fighter, Scott McKay. And he's got some big announcements to share with us about a healing technology. And he's set up apparently some kind of a wellness center, I think in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I don't know all the details about this healing tech or exactly what it is or how it works, but we've got that interview coming up. It's going to be fascinating. And I asked Scott McKay his take on things like, you know, is the American Empire finished or can we bring it back? Or is Joe Biden going to be removed from office soon, you know, forced to step down, or what's going on in that situation? So it's going to be an interesting interview for sure. You'll want to stay tuned for that. Now, I've also got a lot of other headlines I'm going to cover first and maybe a special report, but also I have a video showing you how to use Cordal, which is the peer-to-peer distributed system, a platform upon which we have now built Brighteon. And so you can use Cordal. It runs peer-to-peer. Again, no central servers. It's distributed. It's censorship-proof. I have a video today, just a few minutes, showing you how to access Brighteon on Cordal and how to run a node, which helps strengthen the network, by the way. And also later on this week, I have Jason Crow coming on as a guest for Decentralized.tv. And we're going to try to rush that episode out to kind of show you, give you a tour of Cordal and Brighteon on Cordal. And I've also got a special report coming up today, maybe separate from this broadcast, but in a separate podcast, I'm talking about what we're going to build next on Cordal is an emergency broadcast system where we can get you emergency messages even if all the domain names are banned, even if the internet kill switch is activated by the government. Using Cordal, we'll be able to get you emergency messages, text, images, and audio files in just a few minutes through this decentralized peer-to-peer system. So we are actually embracing Cordal as the peer-to-peer distributed content network, and we're building apps on it, and we're releasing the source code of those apps. I mean, we're going to. We haven't done it yet, but that's in the plan here after we get it organized a little bit more. We're going to release the source code so you can do it too. You can just borrow our code, and you can use Cordal. If you have an organization, if you have a private group, a PMA, I don't know. You've got, I mean, I know like Jeffrey Prather, he's got his groups of people, and you could use Cordal as your kind of underground railroad peer-to-peer distributed messaging system. All you got to do is copy our code that we're building, that we're paying for, which is going to be called the, some kind of emergency broadcasting system on Cordal. Anyway, I will bring you more details about that. This is just part of the way that we are building the infrastructure of human freedom. Now, in the last day or so, Dr. Peter McCullough has spoken out about Jamie Foxx. Now, again, normally I wouldn't spend so much time talking about some celebrity Hollywood person, but Jamie Foxx has been the center of attention because of vaccine injuries and his apparent stroke, you know, reported stroke and so on. And the Gateway Pundit actually wrote this up, talking about Dr. Peter McCullough in an interview with Grant Stinchfield. And McCullough was saying that Jamie Foxx is not being honest with the public about what has happened to him. Quote, he's not telling us the truth. He's not telling us what he has. That's what Dr. McCullough says. Firstly, quote, he should tell his fans and tell the public, did he take a vaccine, yes or no? He and I talked about this a long time ago. He knows my views on this. So in other words, Dr. McCullough has had private conversations with Jamie Foxx. And I'm guessing that why that is, I mean, I don't have any inside knowledge, but I'm guessing that Jamie Foxx reached out to Dr. Peter McCullough because he knew that he was vaccine injured and he wanted to know what he could do to reverse the vaccine injury. That's my guess, but you know, I can't prove that that's the case. All right, the second thing Dr. McCullough says is he didn't tell what the diagnosis is. Did he have a stroke? It looks like he did. His left side of his face is paralyzed. He's referring to a photo of Jamie Foxx in the hospital, I think. He says he had tubes in him. I presume that's an endotracheal tube and a feeding tube. His collar is buttoned up over what's probably a tracheostomy stoma. Why doesn't he just tell the truth? Jamie's a good guy, he goes on. I know him. Again, it's Dr. McCullough speaking. I know him. I don't know why he, DeMar, Hamlin, Justin Bieber, the list goes on and on. Why can't they just tell the public the truth? And of course, we know the answer to that because their careers would end if they told the truth about the vaccine damage. You think Justin Bieber took the vaccine and it caused his facial paralysis? Yeah, a lot of people believe that's the case. Quote, they're public figures like you and me, Grant, and they have an obligation to disclose and be truthful to the public, not to be private or keep secrets, McCullough added. Well, okay. Yeah, that's arguable, but I suppose it is every individual's right if they have a medical condition and they wish to keep it secret, fine. But this is something that has implications for many other people, because if vaccines are causing this kind of damage, and if Jamie Foxx knows that this is a post-vaccine damage scenario, he does have a moral obligation, in my opinion, to warn the public about these vaccines, to warn people to not take them, you know, to prevent additional injury and suffering. And McCullough basically said that lack of transparency is causing more lives to be put at risk than what is otherwise necessary. All right, so that's a fascinating exchange about Jamie Foxx. And I mostly agree with that. I think Jamie Foxx should come out and tell the truth and be honest. He doesn't have to hide from the public. If he went through something very difficult, I think the public would absolutely understand and support him. And as you know, recently I did my feature podcast here showing you the photos of my finger, which, you know, I nearly had severed. I almost lost my finger. And then the healing journey that I went through and kind of the amazing experience of feeling firsthand what it's like to have a physical handicap, even a relatively small one. But, you know, a finger is a big deal, especially your index finger. So to be able to go through that and have that physical handicap, that impediment for some period of time, you know, a couple of months almost, until I really got the functioning back, that taught me a lot about people who have injuries and who have, you know, physical impairments, people who have disabilities. And so I want to say a couple of things about the ethical way to interact with people who have physical deformities and disabilities, including many veterans who have disabilities and so on. And I have, in the past, when I was a teenager, I volunteered in a nursing home and I helped elderly patients and so on, you know, get water and, used to volunteer at a nursing center in Wyoming and, would just do free hand massages for elderly people. You wouldn't believe what just giving, a hand massage to an elderly person, what that can mean to them. It's pretty incredible. That alone can be life changing. I mean, it's just, I mean, some of these people, especially in nursing homes, they don't have any human contact. Nobody touches them except in a medical sense, like, you know, to draw blood or pierce their skin or whatever. Like the only touch they ever get is a medical intervention instead of a caring, compassionate human being. So think about that as a kind of hell to go through that. But I also recall instances in my life where, for example, I was at a grocery store and here's a person rolling along in a wheelchair and they're rolling down the aisle and they see me. And the person says, hey, can you help me reach that there on the top shelf? And I'm like, sure thing. Yeah. And I grab it and give it to them. Is there anything else you need me to reach for you while I'm here? And they're like, nope, that's it. Thank you. I'm like, okay, thanks. You're welcome. You know, take care. A person, this is my assumption, but I think it's accurate. Any of you listening, if you are confined to a wheelchair, I hope you agree with this, but as I understand it, those who are in wheelchairs, they don't need you to pity them, and they don't want you to pity them in any way. They want normalcy to the extent that they can express it in their lives, and they don't want to appear, you know, physically impaired or, quote, handicapped. And so it's proper, I believe, to help someone who asks for your help in a public context like that. Like, hey, could you get that door for me? Yeah, sure, buddy. No problem. Or, hey, could you reach that for me? Hey, could you lift this? You know, no problem. But don't run around like trying to intervene with everybody who's in a wheelchair. Like, oh my God, is there anything you need? You know, don't freak out and be crazy like that. That's an insult, honestly. Or someone who's, you know, missing an arm, someone who's an amputee, doesn't have a hand or doesn't have an arm. And sadly, there's a lot of people in our world because there's so much war in our world. But if somebody has, let's say, a hand deformity, and you discover this at the moment that you're shaking hands with them, you know, you're meeting them, let's say, and they reach out and their hand is not all there, it's not appropriate, you know, to freak out. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, just shake their hand and proceed, people. You know, look, for that person, every day is a day. It's normal. It's a daily routine to not have their entire hand. And they've already overcome the whatever grief there was, and they're living their lives day to day in the best way they can, having compensated for that. And they don't need your pity. Frankly, they just need to be seen as normal. And they need to be seen as something more than their deformity. This is absolutely crucial. If you're interacting with somebody who has a deformity, do not define them by that deformity. Like, oh, that's the one-armed guy. No, that's not it at all. That might be the guy who's the brilliant physicist, because, you know, he used his time in the hospital to study physics or whatever, and he's got a beautiful mind, and or maybe he's an artist, you know, whatever. Don't define people by these deformities, because nobody is their physical body alone. Nobody is. As human beings, we transcend our physical bodies. We are body, but then spirit, you know, mind and spirit and soul. All those things count more than the body. And, you know, frankly, a physical deformity, such as losing a hand or losing a foot or whatever, it doesn't take away your mind in any way whatsoever. And in society, people are amazingly adaptable. People can overcome in ways that you might not imagine. And I got a really small taste of this, not being able to use just one of my fingers for, you know, almost a couple months, and just realizing, hey, guess what? I've got to learn how to do things differently. I've got to compensate. I've got to overcome. And I know that's only a small example. It's nothing like somebody going through a stroke, like maybe what Jamie Foxx, maybe he had to relearn how to walk again. That seems likely, actually. I haven't seen him use his right arm yet, you know? He might be relearning how to use his right arm, his right hand. He might have had to relearn and recover how to use his facial muscles and be able to talk well. And if so, he's had a very, you know, powerful recovery so far, and we wish him the best. But your deformity does not define you, and never project that onto other people. Do not judge people by their looks or by their physical status. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine who suffers from a degenerative muscular disorder. I think it's muscular dystrophy, but I'm not sure the exact diagnosis. But I went with him to a gun training class to get concealed carry. And he was able to pass the physical shooting part, the shooting skills part of the exam. And even though he had extreme difficulty racking the slide of a pistol, and he had quite a bit of difficulty holding it steady, but he was able to get enough rounds on paper to qualify and have his concealed carry. And here's a man who, you know, somebody could easily look at this person and think of them as being, quote, a cripple or handicapped or whatever. He never saw himself that way. He never said, oh, I can't do that. That's impossible. I could never have a concealed carry permit. He just realized that he's going to have to do things a little differently. Like, to get the gun up in the air, he has to, like, kind of swing his arm and then kind of hold it. Instead, he has to use momentum to get his arm up there and hold that gun up and then pull the trigger. It's more difficult for him but he figured out a way to do it. And that makes him, in my mind, you know, more capable than someone who just sits around on the couch watching daytime TV, even though their body might be perfectly all usable and all their muscles work, but they're sitting around, you know, atrophying all their muscles because they're not using them, and they never get a concealed carry. Whereas, you know, my friend who's got these physical disabilities, he can at least defend himself if some bad people come into his house. You know, he can at least shoot some rounds and maybe even hit the bad guys. At least he can shoot some rounds in their direction. And that counts for something. Whereas somebody who's got no pistol, no training, nothing, they can't do jack. So, you know, it's like I was joking about almost severing my finger and having this, you know, there's a scar there. It's not prominent. I showed you the picture. It looks pretty darn good compared to what you might expect based on what happened. But I was joking like I'm never going to be a hand model, right? That was, shucks, you know, that was my life's dream, was to be a hand model. I was going to go from the health ranger to the hand model. That was it. And now I can't do that anymore. But I can do, you know, a million other things. And I think that's true for every person who has a physical impairment, a disability. You know, if you lose a leg, so, right, there are certain things you're not going to be able to do anymore. But there are tons of things you can do. You know, same thing with an arm, same thing with a hand. There's always things that you can do, you can overcome, and you can adapt. And also for those who are visually impaired, you know, it doesn't end your life to not be able to see. It just means you have a different experience, and there are certain things you can't do. You know, you're not going to be, let's say, you know, a color sensitive artist on a canvas, you know, mixing all these different colors, because that part of your sensory system isn't functioning, but other parts are functioning perfectly well. In fact, many parts are enhanced. And I remember, even when I was quite a bit younger, there was a friend of the family who was, at least at the time, we said blind. I'm not sure that term is used so much anymore, but it, you know, he was considered blind, and he could read Braille, and he was showing me how fast he could read Braille. And it was astonishing. That guy read Braille faster than most people read with their eyes. I mean, he was just zipping across the page. You know how Braille is, it's just like regular text. It's just, you know, you have to feel it with your finger, but you go from left to right, and he's just like zip, 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 one line at a time. Boom, boom, boom. And, you know, think about it. His mind is processing not just the physical sensations that become the letters, that become the words, but then the concepts of the words and all the higher thinking and understanding that goes along with that without even using his eyes. So don't ever sit there and think that just because somebody is lacking some sensory system that you're used to, don't think that they're any less of a person. They're not. They may, in fact, in many ways, have exceeded what other people are capable of who have all their senses. And by the way, you know, the ultimate truth or bottom line in all this is that most people who have all their senses intact, they don't use them because they have no sense anyway. Right? I mean, there are plenty of people out there that have eyes and ears and hands and mouths and tongues that are all working fine physically, biologically, but they're idiots. You know, they're morons, they're brainwashed. And that's a waste, isn't it? And I have more condemnation for those people. You know, how dare you be a human being that is gifted with all of this? Like, everything in your body works, and then you do nothing with it. You're just another obedient slave to the system. That's a disgrace. To me, that's like, dare I use the word, that's a cripple. That's a cripple. Somebody who's got everything and uses nothing. That's a cripple. Whereas many people who are in wheelchairs, like Governor Abbott of Texas, he's the governor. He didn't let that stop him, did he? And, you know, I know some of his positions are controversial or whatever. That's always going to be the case when you're the governor. But the man has succeeded at what he set out to do. And that's admirable. Where a lot of people could have given up, he did not. Now, let's shift gears a little bit Joe Biden announced yesterday from the East Room that he had cured cancer. I know. This is incredible. In this video, which I don't think I'm going to play it here, he said that over 100 people died from COVID. Yeah. Imagine that. Over 100 people. I mean, does this guy have any clue what day it is? And then he said that he'd cured cancer. If you could do anything at all, Joe, what would you do? He's talking about himself, and he says, I said I'd cure cancer. And they looked at me, why cancer? Because no one thinks we can. That's why, and we can. And then he said, we ended cancer as we know it. What? What? So Joe Biden just announced that he's cured cancer. So, I don't know, you talk about delusional people. Joe Biden thinks he cured cancer. What do you say to that? Does he have any idea that actually the cures for cancer are censored and suppressed and, you know, blacklisted from the tech platforms because of the White House? Because the White House tells big tech to censor all the people talking about cancer cures. Like the cure for cancer, you know, Ty and Charlene Bollinger and all the other alternative medicine doctors who are talking about cancer, you know, the alternative practitioners and the journalists and so on, they're all banned. So no, Joe Biden, you didn't cure cancer. You made cancer worse. And I think you might be a cancer on America. So maybe we should ask the cancer to step down. How about that? I think that's coming. 25th Amendment. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to come to Joe Biden, and it's going to be both the Republicans and the Democrats for different reasons. The Democrats want him out of there because they need a stronger candidate in 2024. And the Republicans want him out of there so they can claim they did something to get rid of the Biden, you know, crime family. And so they're going to come to Joe, and they're going to say, hey, old Joe, cancer cure master. And don't forget to beat up Corn Pop on the way. Joe, here's what we're going to do. Here's all the evidence we have of your bribery, you know, accepting bribes, probably $20 million plus in bribes, all the criminal evidence against Hunter Biden, your son, and basically, you know, we can prosecute you and put you in prison for the rest of your life, or you could just resign and say it's health reasons, and everybody will believe that. And then we're going to drop all these criminal charges, and you can just ride off into the sunset thinking you cured cancer. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to step down for health reasons, and they're going to drop the criminal charges. And then the media is going to hope that this thing goes away. And then the Democrats are going to try to figure out what to do with Kamala Harris. There's a question. What do you do with a hoe in the Oval Office? I mean, what do you do in that scenario? Right? Hey there, ho there, hi there. As happy as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E. The clown show continues with the hoe in the Oval Office. So you gotta wonder. You gotta wonder, where this goes next and who might the Democrats think of putting in there in order to replace Kamala, and what are they gonna do with Kamala? I mean, they've got, of course, all the dirt on her from California and all the crooked dealings that she was part of, and, you know, all the crimes she committed against innocent people that she prosecuted in California. Unbelievable. I mean, talk about a crook. A hoe crook. So they're going to find a way to politically take her down, and then they're going to put in somebody else. And who's that going to be? Could it be Michelle Obama? Could it be Oprah? You know, who are they going to get? Because they sure don't want RFK Jr. at all. I mean, RFK Jr. would be the perfect candidate for the Democrats to embrace if they wanted to hold on to party power. But they don't like RFK Jr. anymore because he's the true old school Democrat. That's what Democrats used to be. Like, gentlemen, polite people, honest truth tellers. Today, the Democrat Party is a bunch of, you know, child raping, child trafficking, grooming, pedophile, racist, Marxist, lunatic, you know, intolerant, criminal cartel members and everything. And that's what the Democrat Party is today. So they reject RFK. So who are they going to find that's more crooked than Kamala, more controllable than Joe, but more likable than Trump? Who could that be on the Democrat side? Any ideas? I mean, Gruesome Newsom might be a candidate. Maybe they're going to try to throw Pete Buttigieg in there. Well, maybe they're going to get that transgender luggage thief that worked for the Biden administration and ended up being charged, I think, with several felonies for stealing luggage, women's clothing. Maybe that's who they'll run. I hope so. Because that would make the clown show even more obvious. But I guess we're going to have to see. But I don't think it's going to be Joe. And I kind of doubt it's going to be Kamala either. And I guess the Mickey Mouse song actually goes, "Hey there, hi there, ho there." Right? Isn't that right? It ends with the ho, which is the same thing as the American Empire. Okay. You got that joke? Okay. Yeah, folks, some of this is satire. Some of this is comedy. And sometimes you have to figure it out yourself. Other times, I might just drop little tiny hints about that. But yeah, don't take it all seriously, okay? Okay, reporting some other news here, moving on. You know the Ozempic weight loss drug? And was this the drug that made people lose, like, facial function or something? Or is that a different drug? I've lost track of all these different weight loss drugs that people use. I don't know, man. People are desperate and they just do anything. Like, inject me! And it's just, oh, yeah, you're, makes you look 10 years older. It's okay. Whatever. Here's a story out of the UK Daily Mail. Ozempic side effects left women vomiting years after stopping the weight loss drug. Quote, "I wish I never touched it." A 37-year-old Louisiana woman was diagnosed with gastroparesis, which apparently involves repeated vomiting. She believes it was caused by Ozempic, which she took for 2 years. And the story says that women, you know, more than one, women who quit Ozempic said it made their lives hell, even years after coming off the drug. This patient started taking the blockbuster weight loss drug in 2019 and began suffering from severe nausea and vomiting 2 years into the medication. So the drug, which requires users to take it for life to keep the weight off, she was diagnosed with stomach paralysis after the sickness became so bad she couldn't eat. She believes the drug slows down digestion. It may have led to or worsened the condition, she says, which causes severe vomiting and malnutrition. She can only eat a few bites of her favorite food at a time, even though she stopped taking the drug in 2021. Now, okay, so this is the story of one woman. We can't prove that that was from the Ozempic drug, but then they talk about other women in this story that had kind of similar experiences. Now, I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and find out that the current medical problem they're suffering from is a result of the previous medical treatment that they agreed to. It's incredibly common that people went to the doctor and had some procedure done, or they got on a drug and then the drug causes this other problem. You know how it goes. It's a chain reaction. It's like one drug causes five side effects, and then you got to take, you know, two or three more drugs to treat those side effects. And then they cause, you know, 10 more side effects. And you know, pretty soon you can't control. I mean, you're incontinent, right? You pee in your pants and, you know, you can't get an erection or whatever. It's just everything's gone wrong. You can't sleep. You can't eat. And it's all because you trusted Big Pharma for some reason. Why did you trust Big Pharma? Why do people trust Big Pharma? Why do they think that, oh, my answer to weight loss is not like, let's eat healthier and change my food choices? Instead, far too often, the choice is to say, oh, let's keep eating crap, but take this miracle drug. And then this miracle drug makes you vomit for 10 years, you know? Well, that's one way to solve the overeating problem. Or maybe, you know, a different way would be to start eating healthier and have, you know, more nutrients in your food and get off the junk food and get into healthy eating and have good nutrition, and your cravings will naturally drop and so on. You know, there's lots of different ways to address this, but just taking a drug while pursuing unhealthy processed food overeating is not a long-term solution. So I am not surprised if indeed some people are having very serious problems from taking these miracle weight loss drugs or weight loss injections. And I would strongly advise you to not compromise your health with some chemical intervention when the real solution is going to involve making better food choices and maybe growing some of your own food and eating more of that instead of having all this toxic processed food. And the other thing that's just worth noting here is, this has astonished me over the years. Can't even tell you how many times I've talked to people who tell me that they eat healthy. And then when I start to look at what they're eating, it's not healthy at all. You know, they'll tell me that they're eating something healthy and then find out, oh, it's a rice meal with flavoring in it. They think the rice is healthy, but the flavoring is full of monosodium glutamate. It's like, that's not healthy at all. You're eating an excitotoxin that, you know, might damage your brain. And they thought, oh, I thought it's healthy because it's rice. No, you're eating poison. I just, so many cases of this that people have no idea that most of the foods they eat are very bad for them. And then they think the answer is going to be found in a pharmaceutical rather than changing what they eat. It's very sad. And of course, it's all because people like myself are censored on purpose, because Big Pharma makes money from sickness. Of course, they make money from sickness, and Big Pharma and Big Food work together, because Big Food gives you diseases and then Big Pharma profits from the treatment of those diseases. And Big Pharma's drugs never solve the problem, so that you remain a lifelong patient, a customer on that same drug, and you end up paying for it year after year after year, because again, the drugs don't actually work. They don't actually solve anything. And as long as you stay on that drug, you just keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker in other ways, which will result in more drug profits for Big Pharma. And eventually, you know, you'll have liver cancer or something like that. Then they can have the big money on cancer treatments and chemo. And even, man, even right now, someone I know that was always into Big Pharma, she's got some kind of cancer tumor that's apparently doubling every 6 months. And, you know, I can't even talk to her about what to do about it, because she only believes in Big Pharma. So she's going to go in and get all poisoned, you know, and just, probably just commit chemotherapy suicide. All she has to do is reach out and ask and say, oh, hey, what do you know that could, you know, help my body heal from this cancer? You know, and the answer is usually pretty simple, actually. Well, like, here's 27 things you could do. You start with three of them, you know. And it'd be pretty amazing. And I know people who've reversed stage 4 liver cancer doing simple things. And one of those things is eliminating the toxins. But people would rather die than give up their comfort foods. Did you know that? Most people would rather die than give up their comfort foods. Seriously. Living on Pop-Tarts and fried egg rolls and whatever. They're like, I can't give that up. You're dying. Well, you know, maybe there's a drug that could treat me and I could keep eating Pop-Tarts and fried egg rolls. You know, that's what people tell themselves. And it's just, it's a horrible conclusion. It doesn't work. I don't know how shallow a person's life has to be to not be able to give up, you know, fried egg rolls. I mean, it's not the end of the world to give up egg rolls, folks. You know, why is the perception of everything so difficult right now? Like, you can't ask me to stop eating sugar, you know? Really? I mean, I haven't eaten sugar for so many decades. I couldn't even find sugar in my house if you asked me to. That I could find honey. That's as close as I could get. If you asked me for sugar, like white sugar, so I'm sorry, you're out of luck. I don't even have any. Or like a microwave oven, right? I haven't used a microwave oven. I can't even remember. It had to be before I even moved to Ecuador. Because it didn't even have a microwave in Ecuador. Didn't even use it before I moved there. It's got to be like 25 years that I've never used a microwave oven. And I say that to some people like, how do you live without a microwave oven? Gosh, how do you think humanity survived before microwaves were invented? There's a stove and a pan. You know, you can get some heat from the stove. It's not that complicated. You can boil a pot of water, whatever. You don't need a microwave to survive. But some people can't believe, I can't give up the microwave. Well, whatever. So keep eating your nutrient-depleted, all destroyed, nuked, obliterated foods and then wonder why you have nutrient deficiency. Think about it. I haven't eaten microwave foods for decades. I'm not about to start now. Okay, now shifting gears, one more interesting story about aliens. Here it is, also from the UK Daily Mail. Former defense official Christopher Mellon says the U.S. has recovered technology that, quote, did not originate on this earth. Well, which earth is he referring to? This is the only earth I know of. He made this claim ahead of a congressional UFO hearing that's due to happen, well, today actually. 65-year-old man served as former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. That's a long title. In the Clinton and Bush administrations. And he says, again, the U.S. has recovered technology that did not originate on this earth. He says that America may have in our possession off-world technology recovered from someone else's space program. That's like, who's the someone else? Like little green men. Okay. He now works as a private equity investor, and in 2020 he admitted he was the secret source who provided the New York Times with the three UFO videos that it published in 2017. Okay, so I know what many of you are thinking, and here's the question. Is this a psyop? Now, for the record, I don't think we're alone in the universe. In fact, I'm certain we're not alone in the universe, but is this thing, now that it's coming out, it's kind of leaking out, it's being covered in the media and they're going to testify before Congress. Is this a psyop? Because, of course, they've had technology transfers from off-world tech to humanity. This has been going on since at least the 1940s. And we've talked about this, you know. The transistor, for example, it was just handed to humanity. And some people think that maybe some of the nanotech in these jabs might be, you know, exotic tech of other origin, who knows? But the fact that they're coming out and saying this now, it just seems a little suspicious, right? Like, why would they be admitting this now? Why is the government suddenly rolling out this narrative that it's them aliens now, right? And it makes you wonder if they're trying to carry out the psychological preparation for a giant cosmic false flag. Like, maybe they're so desperate. The end of the empire is here. The end of the fiat currency debt printing system. The end of the constitutional republic. The end of Western civilization. You know, the end of media control. The end of effective censorship because we now have peer-to-peer distributed systems and so on. And maybe they're so desperate, at least this is what some people think, maybe they're so desperate that they have to have a really big narrative to just try to hold on to power a little bit longer, and maybe that big narrative is that, oh, aliens landed on the White House lawn, and so we all have to give up our guns and agree to live under one world government for whatever reason. It's like, maybe we've been colonized by the aliens, or maybe we're at war with the aliens, and we have to come together as humans and give up your guns and fight them aliens. You know, whatever it is, whatever the narrative is going to be, you can see they're planning for it. At least that's what a lot of people believe is happening right here. What do you think? And I guess aliens can't just give us the cure for cancer now because Joe Biden already cured it. He ended cancer as we know it, he just said. Can you imagine if the aliens actually met Joe Biden, like if the aliens landed in America and they said, take us to your leader, and people took the aliens to Joe Biden. this is our leader. The aliens took one look at Joe, and they would probably take back off, and they would say, nuke from orbit. You know, this planet's not worth saving. You know, that's probably what their conclusion would be. It's like, my God, these bipedal humanoid-type creatures, they're not worth saving. You won't believe what we just saw. Their leader is an idiot. And their vice leader is a hoe. It's like, we're out of here. Nuke from orbit and leave, you know? Now, as you may know, I believe that actually Earth is being prepared for a post-human future. I think that there is an extermination event, a planetary scale ethnic cleansing actually taking place right now. And that's no joke. That's not satire. That's real. And it's obvious to me at this point that Earth itself is very valuable to non-terrestrial civilizations, but that the human, allegedly human creatures on Earth, by and large, not that impressive. Not that awesome. Right? You look around. It's like, here's a woman that wants to eat Pop-Tarts and fried egg rolls and take a weight loss drug that makes her vomit for 10 years. Oh, that's, wow. And that's typical. That's typical now. This is what the human race has become. Now here's a bunch of male members of the species that think they're women. And the CDC just gave guidance on how men can use some kind of chemical augmentation to cause their nipples to secrete fluids so they can pretend to breastfeed children. Now, can you imagine the aliens looking at Earth and seeing the trans cult? It's like, oh my God, this planet is full of insane lunatics. The male members of the species, they think they're females. And many of the female members of the species, they support it. And they also murder their own offspring. Oh my gosh. They murder their offspring and they do organ harvesting of children, their own children, whom they traffic across their open borders like, this planet's crazy. Aliens, I've said before, they would actually sell cosmic tickets, like standing room only. Come watch this insane planet destroy itself. You know, watch from orbit as humanity just goes about its day and look at the insanity. It's like, this species is so stupid, they put poison on their food. Pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate. They put poison on their food and then feed it to their children. And they have a whole agency called the USDA that approves that. It's amazing. They poison their bodies, they poison their minds, they roll out fake news, they censor the truth. They attack womanhood. They pretend that, you know, men can have babies. I mean, my goodness. If we were going to be judged cosmically, I mean, not even by God. Now, God's judgment is happening as well. But if we were just judged by extraterrestrials, they would have to conclude at the end of the day, you know, going down the checklist, this is a planet of an unsavable species of morons. And then they would probably say, well, how do we get rid of them? And then the answer would be obvious. Oh, fake a plandemic and get the morons to line up to take suicide shots. And guess what? That shit already happened. But then let's disable all the nukes to make sure they don't destroy the planet that we're going to inherit after the human race commits mass suicide. Giant, like, Jim Jones, Kool-Aid drinking species of morons. They're going to take themselves out, but let's make sure they don't destroy the planet. So they're disabling the nukes. Woo, man. How did we find ourselves here? You ever wonder that? How did we get here? I mean, how is it that you and I and those of us in independent or alternative media, like, we are the ones who see reality for what it is. Like, we actually represent the best of humanity, but we are suppressed by the worst of humanity, which is all the corrupt cartels and censors and lunatics and fascists on the left who think that men can become women and that children are their sex toys and things like that. I mean, it's just a bunch of fascist lunatics. So anyway, I still say that the best option is for us to build a giant spaceship for all the fascist, leftist, pedophiles, child molesters, groomers. Have it called, like, you know, Groomer Adventures in Space or something, and load them up all on that spaceship, as many as possible, and just launch that sucker at the sun. It's like, enjoy your ride. It's gonna get hot sooner or later. And just have telescopes looking at it. It's now approaching the sun. All the pedophiles are burning up in the sun's atmosphere. It's amazing. Watch them get turned into atomic hydrogen or whatever. I guess it wouldn't all become hydrogen. Maybe not. I don't know. Not on the surface of the sun anyway. But you get my point. Sadly, we are not about to build such a spaceship that I know of. But maybe the extraterrestrials will build one for us. And then all these people can take a ride into the sun. You know, drop those child-raping bastards down the gravity hole of the solar system. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. And every time you look at the sun up in the sky each day, you can think to yourself, how awesome it is. Those pedophiles have now been turned into a source of solar power for the planet. That's called renewable energy, folks. And I will leave it there for today, but we'll go into the interview with Scott McKay. Oh, actually, first, let me play the video for you, which is how to use Cordal to access Brighteon videos, which is the peer-to-peer, you know, decentralized system that's censorship-proof. I'll play that video for you first. It's just a few minutes long, and then we'll go into the interview with Scott McKay. And also want to give credit to some of our sponsors today, the Satellite Phone Store, Backup Communications, SAT123.com. For ballistic armor, in case things get even crazier than they are right now, visit hoplitearmor.com, H-O-P-L-I-T-E, hoplitearmor.com. Use discount code RANGER. And also shieldarms.com. And I now have a really amazing Glock 43 from Shield Arms that I can't wait to show you. They set it up. It's really nice. They've got great setups on folding AR-15s as well. Go to shieldarms.com, discount code RANGER. We'll get you a discount on some rifles that they have there. And then finally, arcseedkits.com for non-GMO heirloom seeds to grow your own food as the mainstream food system is collapsing and becoming more toxic by the day. So arcseedkits, that's A-R-K, arcseedkits.com. And with that said, enjoy the upcoming video here, showing you about the Cordal content system, distributed content, peer-to-peer distribution of Brighteon videos, and then the Scott McKay interview on the other side of that. Enjoy. All right, Mike Adams here. I wanted to walk everybody through how to use Cordal to see Brighteon.com videos now. And Cordal, in fact, show my screen here. Cordal.org shows this decentralized peer-to-peer platform that was built by Jason Crow and his crew. And this platform, which is free to download, free to use, just click join here and it'll take you to downloads, and you can download it for Windows or Linux or Mac, Raspberry Pi even as well. See all these different guides here. So download it and install it and run it, and you'll be running a decentralized peer-to-peer platform for which we have now constructed a Brighteon app. So Brighteon.com is now pushing videos from a couple of channels, and we'll expand that over time, into the Cordal system, which means those videos are forever uncensorable, and they're distributed through peer-to-peer networking. There are no central servers, and there's no domain name that can be taken down to stop these videos. So if you're on Brighteon.tv as a host, or if you are a content creator on Brighteon.com, you can use this now to have your videos forever uncensorable through the Cordal system. And I want to show you how to use this. So step one, like I said, click on the downloads, go ahead and download the software, and then install it and run it on your system. So this is what it looks like once you run it. And this is just a brand new Cordal that I set up here. And it starts off with this one tab, which is wallets. And you can see that I have zero quartz and zero Bitcoin and zero Litecoin, whatever. This is just a brand new wallet, but this is not about the coins. You click on plus, and then you go to this called Q Apps, okay, which means Cordal Apps. You click on Q Apps, and then here in the search box, you just type in, well, Brighteon, and you click search. And then it's going to bring up the Q Brighteon app, which is right here, Brighteon powered by Qortal. You see that? So you click download and it will download that app. So now when you revisit the Q Apps tab, it says you can open Brighteon. So you just click on open and it says welcome to Q Brighteon. Brighteon channels currently available through the Q Brighteon app are Health Ranger Report and Brighteon TV. Now you'll notice, and by the way, this is going to be greatly expanded to, frankly, thousands of channels, but this is just what we started with. And now what it's doing is it's actually loading up the thumbnails of these recently published videos. Now at the moment, it's actually publishing the older videos from 2022 and 2021. So you're actually seeing, you know, last year's videos here at the moment. These are from the Reawaken America tour. And if you scroll down, you're going to see lots of videos from, well, these are all from Brighteon TV channel, but you'll see videos from my channel as well. And eventually you'll see videos from everybody else's channels. And the important thing to understand is that when you click on these videos, for example, let's click on this Ohio Brett and Tom Renz. When I click on this video, it's not playing from a central server. When I click play, it actually loads the video from Qortal nodes. And since this is a brand new video, by the way, it hasn't yet replicated across multiple nodes, so it's going to be rather slow because it's probably coming from one single node, which is the first node that had this file. But over time, and just have patience with it, it will load up that video and it will play that video. And you can actually look in the top right corner here. You click this and it shows you the download progress of that video, which is right now at 0%. But that will increase as the nodes begin to replicate that file. And then you'll be able to play that video. Now again, you can go back or you can click on the channel name here and you can go right to the Brighteon TV channel. And you can see it'll load up here of all the videos that are on that channel. And this, of course, works for every channel. So you just have to have patience with it. Yeah, so here's all the videos just with Brighteon TV. In any case, this exists now. You notice this is running in Qortal. It's not running in a browser. And this is really critical to understand. It's not using, you know, Firefox or Brave or Edge browser or anything like that. It's not using centralized servers. It's not using DNS. It's not using, you know, a typical website. It's not using Amazon AWS. None of that is happening. This is decentralized, uncensorable video distribution. And it's free to use right now on Qortal.org is where you download it and you can run Qortal and you can participate in this. And I have to say, one reason why you want to do this is because we are about to build on the Qortal platform a new app that is an emergency broadcast system app. And it will be a way for me to get you a message in case the internet kill switch is activated. So I'll be able to get you a message, text, audio, maybe small videos, photos, things like that, through this decentralized system to everybody who's running Qortal and is running the emergency broadcast app that we're going to be building. We anticipate announcing that within the next 2 months or less. And we will open source the code as well so that you can take that code and you can build your own broadcast system on Qortal for virtually no effort and no cost. So that's my way of, you know, achieving the mission here. You know, my slogan for my new show, decentralized.tv, my slogan is building the infrastructure of human freedom. And that's exactly what we're doing with the help of Qortal. In fact, let me bring up the website of the new show. You got to check it out. It's called decentralize.tv. And here it is. All the episodes are shown here. And my co-host, Todd Pittner, he and I are interviewing some of the most amazing people with the most amazing projects you can imagine. We've already filmed 12 episodes. We've only released 6. And we're filming a couple more each week. So this is going to keep you clued in on the most amazing technology. In fact, Jason Crow from Qortal is joining us on this show to talk about the Qortal system and what that can do for human freedom as well. It's the infrastructure for human freedom. And we couldn't do this without your support. So I thank you for all of your support here at Brighteon.com and also HealthRangerStore.com. If you're looking for healthy products and you want to support us, just shop at HealthRangerStore.com. And we use profits to help fund infrastructure projects that we open source, which is what we're doing with Qortal and other projects coming up. Just know that we are giving back to humanity by building the infrastructure of human freedom. So a lot of exciting news yet to come. this year, if not beyond that. It's going to be really amazing. So thank you for watching. Download the software at Cordal.org and get started today and get ready for the emergency broadcast system that we're also going to announce on the Cordal platform. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for watching. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the health ranger, the founder of Brighteon. And it's an overdue invitation, I think, to have this interview with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter. He joins us now from his touring bus with some major breaking news, and I've got news to break with him, too. So welcome to the show, Scott. It's always great to have you back on.
Always great to see you, too, my friend. A long overdue visit here and a long overdue visit in Austin, but we'll make that happen in the near future.
Absolutely. You're always welcome here, you know, in studio, whenever you get in this area, come on by. In the meantime, I know you've been busy. You have a major announcement to share. I've got one to share with you. But first, let's just hit some of the big headlines. Do you think that fake President Joe Biden is about to be removed from office?
Which sure appears that way. I mean, all indicators appear that not only does it appear that way, they have to make a move. They cannot let this go on much longer, even if it is through the rest of the year. And on top of that, there's no way they can let this guy stay in a campaign run because the devastation is already upon them. Yes, they can steal elections. They've got the whole machine wired coast to coast, even with the Republicans helping to steal these elections. The problem they have, in my opinion, is this. How do you bring Kamala Harris into the fold to run as a sitting president? She's not even eligible. I think the biggest question here is we know Biden's going to be removed before that day comes. What are they going to do about Kamala Harris? Because I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of things happen here that I've declared as a smokeout operation. I've said Patriot Street Fighter is a smokeout operation on all levels. But I believe that they're going to allow this to happen because I think Kamala Harris stepping forward is going to show two things. Number one, it's going to show how brazen these criminals are to try to put in somebody who wasn't even born in the United States, not eligible for the presidency. And number two, to smoke out what Republicans or all of them will do nothing about it, will not make this claim in front of the world and the media to use constitutional power to say this can't be, she's not eligible. I think as this movie plays out, we got a lot more surprises coming our way.
Yeah, no kidding. And speaking of the movie playing out, isn't it interesting that we've now moved into the chapter where all of the child trafficking pedophilia is out in the open now, thanks to, Sound of Freedom and other efforts and efforts of people like you. I noticed the shirt you're wearing. Children are not what? What's the rest of it say? For sale.
Children are not for sale and sex trafficking.
Yep. Perfect.
It's the biggest selling shirt we've had for two and a half years. We did like $1 million first 5 months in Patriot Street Fighter when it came online. And the big sellers were this shirt and the one that has the building blocks, little kids building blocks. It says Save the Kids, shows the trafficking tunnel map of the United States on the back of it. They're in such high demand back then, but even more so today now that the world's waking up to this massive global criminal, I don't know what you call it, a conveyor belt or a restaurant that these people are dining on our kids, these elites around the world. So all I can say is about damn time.
Do you feel a little bit vindicated on that? Because you're one of the people who's been sounding the alarm for quite some time. And, you know, of course, out there, you got hit with a lot of criticism. People said, oh, this isn't happening. You know, they always say that before the truth comes out. But do you feel vindicated at this point?
Well, I do because, you know, our message has been so effective that I've even as recently as the last couple of months have been labeled an anti-Semite and a horrible Nazi. So, you know, when they pull that out, Alan Dershowitz beat the shit out of me on one of his shows after Maddow ran this continuous story for a year, labeling me as a Nazi and anti-Semite, so much so that I was removed from the Reawaken America tour over it. And it just tells you one thing. When your message is penetrating their narrative, their veil, then they pull out either the race card and the big one. The kill shot for them is the anti-Semite thing. But, you know, that good luck with that. That's not possible. That's ever going to stick, at least for the people that really count that are in the fight and have been digging up the information to see what's going on here. But so, yeah, I'd say vindicated, no doubt.
Right. And also I should point out that, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was recently smeared as an anti-Semite somehow because they twisted what he said. And what he said was factually correct. He said, look, there are ACE2 receptors that make people more vulnerable to SARS-CoV-2. And here's the study that, you know, these ACE2 receptors have different proliferation in different ethnicities. You know, here it is, Hispanics versus people of Jewish ethnicity versus whites versus Indian Americans versus Asian. And it's just, it's different. Some groups are more vulnerable than others because of the ACE2 receptors. And immediately they said, oh, RFK, anti-Jew, anti-Semite. Are you kidding me? They say this at the drop of a hat now.
Well, you know, you can be, let's say, nobody can be racist and get away with it. I think racism is the lowest form of intellect on the planet. To have a judgment on somebody based on a skin color, religion, that stuff never made any sense to me to begin with. But the one that you can't be, if you're going to be against somebody, Jewish people, because the whole comes apart. So much so that, look, you know my story when I was pulled out of the grave in 2014, homeless, crippled, and penniless, 8 months later, lost my company, and I had nowhere to live. And a man who took me in, who took me in for 4.5 years, he was in his 70s in a motorized chair, wonderful friend of mine. I credit him with saving my life. But he happens to be a self-proclaimed Ashkenazi Jew, right? And only the Ashkenazi Jews has this rare disease that took away his ability to walk. I love this man to the end of time. He truly saved my life. My book strategist, who you've spoken to, is also Jewish. Most of my clients in Los Angeles were liberal Jewish Democrats. So being smeared with something like that, in my opinion, is obviously laughable. But what's interesting to me is that's that one racist remark or that racist attack that the whole world comes unglued over. And the fact of the matter is, Rachel Maddow kicked it off, Mike. I've been hammering a Khazarian mafia for 3 years now. And she took out five things that I said starts with the Khazarian mafia. She pulls out the word Khazarian mafia, inserts the word Jews, like I'm saying the Jews this or the Jews that. I don't even use the word Jew. I've always used the word Jewish. So to me, it's just so absurd. It's kind of laughable. I think the problem is that our side still backs up and buckles to this bullshit. I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand how the mainstream media has used this tried and tested weapon over and over and over. And as soon as somebody says it, everybody's goes back on their heels. I've been actually coached, Scott, don't go pay Patriot Street Fighter on this issue like everything else because, and they, you know, explained why you have a strategist. They'll try to keep you a little bit contained. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that for now. But at the end of the day, it's not going to stay that way. There's going to be a full throttle address of this nonsense. But the problem isn't their side, Mike. It's ours. Our side gets scared. They run, they back down. And you know me, there's no boilerplate inside of me that allows me to respond the way the rest of society does. It's either individual, this is bullshit and I'm not going to back up, or, you know, hey, we got something to talk about. So anyways,
yeah,
that's more disconcerting.
And you do have a lot to talk about. You're very effective at it. And we're going to get to your breaking news here in a second. But one more thing I want to ask you is, you know, with all this talk over the years about white hats, and I got to say really, frankly, with a lot of the people I've been interviewing lately and some of the new things I'm working on, I've met a lot of white hats, actually. The white hats are us, like inspired people like us who are doing things that are, you know, peaceful oriented, but solution oriented, that can help save this country. But my question to you, Scott, do you think that we're going to be able to bring America back from the brink, or are we done as an empire / once republic? What's your take?
You know, if there's the end of an empire, in my opinion, Mike, it's their empire. It's the Khazarian mobsters that have infiltrated every institution and agency of influence and power on the planet. Every single country has been owned by this criminal cartel. They've been around 1,400 years. So as far as the fall of an empire, I say absolutely. And do I believe America comes back? Yeah, I do. I believe America comes back, but America's going to get its ass kicked. Imaginable. Because at the end of the day, Mike, you're right. We are the white hats. We are the news. We're the white hats. This is not, in my opinion, this is not a Donald Trump is going to come back and save us. This is not a military is going to come in and clean house and save us. I think both of those are components. But I believe they got to set the stage to course correct the ship. And we're going to have to get our oars into water and start rowing it because the motors burn out. We have to be the ones that bring this back. And I'll tell you why. Because if America doesn't get to the point of the threat of going over the cliff to where, it, in fact, we saw this in the intelligence a couple years ago that said it won't be until push to the brink and in brackets moment of destruction before people will find the will to change. And I fully believe that. That's why I think we got a serious ass beating coming, because without this ass beating on America, we're not going to wake up. We're not going to stop taking for granted that our founders, if people could see how their lives ended up after they signed that amazing document, what happened to most of them, what they gave for, or our soldiers in those wars that really counted, not the Khazarian bankers wars that took a lot of, life and treasure and blood from our amazing soldiers, but the wars that really counted. We left that sitting on the battlefield to lose. I don't believe that. There's too many people like you out there, and a lot of the veterans, people you've trained with, spec ops guys, military from the baby boom generation, they're not going to let this go without a fight. And I can tell you that's why the next warfare platform for Patriot Street Fighter has been Tactical Civics. And the Tactical Civics charters around the country are now starting to explode. I just keep pouring gas on the fire, because once this country learns in mass of the power of the constitutional county grand juries in the country as instituted by our founders, once they know what that means, once they realize that there's more power in the county grand juries in the Supreme Court of the United States, that they have the constitutional power to seat a standing militia. In fact, they're required to, that is either an enforcement or protective arm who can also serve warrants and indictments and hold these politicians operating inside each corporate structure they're in. Until we get to that point, I don't see us making any headway at all, because everybody going in as elected official inside the architecture of what they built, they're all corporations. They're going to serve the corporation, not us, because they have a fiduciary responsibility to whatever corporation they're serving that is masquerading as a government. If I didn't believe that were true, if I didn't believe that this is a way to do it and we can do it, I wouldn't be spending my time going around the country pouring gas in this fire. And so actually, I'm in Clearfield County right now. It's the juggernaut in the nation of Tactical Civics chapters. So I'm here to dump some gas on that fire and, try to inspire these people to realize it started here in Pennsylvania. The founding of the country was right here. The rebirth of it and the refounding is taking place right now. What do you want to do? Do you want to play in this battle to get the ship right and recapture the republic? And I'm tired of hearing about a democracy. Again, more bullshit. We were warned about democracy by Jefferson. Said he referred to the democracy as mobocracy, the mob rules. And we got to help people understand we've never been a democracy. I hate the word. We're a republic. And until we start correcting that language too, we're not going to change what goes on inside people's heads. And, from now till that time comes, I've committed my life to this. This country is going to stay free. It's going to regain its footing and come back to its greatness, or my last breath is going to be expired on it. That I can tell you.
Well, no one's ever going to accuse you of not doing enough to fight for freedom. That's for sure. Now, what you're also doing, that I know you have a big announcement to share with us today, is in the category of what you call wellness warfare. And so, as you know, and I've covered here on this program many times, there is a concerted effort to suppress technology that can help people heal, to suppress indigenous knowledge of healing plants and herbs, for example, but even technology like homeopathy and so on. But you are now involved, as I understand, this is the first time that you're telling me about it. You are engaged in maybe wellness warfare by setting up some healing clinics with some really innovative technology. I don't know much about it, so please give us the full lowdown, the website address and everything else. Go for it.
Yeah, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael has been traveling on my bus with me for about 2 years. I met her on the first tour with Sasha Stone, and I came to know her in a very, very kind of a very passive fashion. She was on a tour. We broke away from Robert David Steele. She was on my bus riding for the rest of the tour. And over time, I learned about this amazing lady and this amazing bioscalar conjugated photonic, perpetuation of Tesla energy technology that she had created, a model of it back in the 70s, late 70s, and then revised the technology by 1996, where it could treat masses of people instead of one person at a time, by creating this conjugated photonic field that brings the power of scalar or Tesla energy to the human body, gives it a blast of hyper healthy energy so it can activate itself and do what it does to heal people. So I had been in this system a number of times in her home. She has a bedroom off the side of the kitchen. So when I'm in Las Vegas, I'd spend a night in the system. And it really was Jason Shurka, as I've been talking about Sandra, Jason Shurka grabbed onto to the idea of her technology, and the organization called TLS, the Light System, this kind of very secretive, hidden kind of group that's been trying to push back against the oppressive force for humanity for a long time. They advised, they insisted that he get out to Las Vegas because they had apparently been aware of her for about 12, 13 years in her technology. And I guess they felt at this time they could protect her. And, cause she's been protected by the military since 96. When she turned that system on the first time, NASA showed up at her house because they were getting a signature of a land-based nuclear sub. Of course, that engagement led to their validation, led to Defense Department validation, clinicals of what this technology does to the human body. It doesn't heal anything. It doesn't have the power to heal anything. But what it does have the power to do is repair DNA, and these are clinical studies, and also just delivers this hyper-healthy energy to the human body to where it begins to heal itself, oftentimes in rapid fashion. And I could just tell you stories for the next hour of those who have come into my center in Dallas, Texas, in Colleyville. I built a 48-unit system there. It's the largest system to date, most powerful. And
so hold on, a 48-unit system, what? So what, 48 people could come in at the same time?
Actually, there's 48 units of these. What it looks like, there's a computer, and there's a screen attached to each computer. And that screen, what it looks like, if you go to terraquantumrecharge.com, which is Terra, T-E-R-R-A, Quantum Recharge, like it sounds.com, you can see what one of these systems looks like.
Okay.
And imagine a screen that looks like it has the code coming down the screen like the Matrix. The difference is this is a very ancient language and also various colors, and it'll go up and down the screen. They'll go down the screen at different speeds up, and they're all calibrated inside of this 6,100 square foot space. We have eight towers. There's four corner towers, and they're all facing. Yeah, this is a great thing to show. They're all facing each other. They're calibrated to collide at dead center. That's the lobby right there. Of course, uh-huh. I had to honor Tesla there by building the lobby.
Wait,
out of
this is way. This is your center?
Yeah, this is my center, and you'll see.
Wow.
As this rolls through, this drone will go inside the center, and then you'll see the floor where the scalar field is being created. It's actually cascading through the entire building, but that's Dr. Sandra Rose Michael there. This is inside the system. There's 40 recliners in there, and those towers are the EE system towers. So each one of those is a unit, and I built this with 48 units in it, create like this Taj Mahal kind of effect. Of course, we got the copper pyramid in there, which kind of hypercharges the energy coming into that space right there. People come in here for an hour, 2 hours. The lights are always way down low. Kick a recliner back. Mike, I can tell you, 2 weeks ago, guy comes in. He has a stroke. He had to be helped to his recliner. He's in there for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the person brought him and my partner, Dr. Rick, who runs operations there for me because I'm too busy on the road. This gentleman gets up and goes to the bathroom and then comes out under his own power into the lobby. And the person that helped him in there couldn't believe it. You know, we've known these are things that happen in this system. So the next day, the same gentleman, I think he's late 60s, comes walking in, throws the door open. He's got his brother in tow and his 89-year-old father. And his 89-year-old father told Rick, he said, look, I've been taking care of this man like an infant for the last 8 months. And he comes home like this after being here. I don't know what it is here, but sign me up for a month. And so, of course, you know, they've been regulars now. But we've had amazing things happening here, kids with autism. I could go through a long list.
Okay, yeah. I mean, man, I have so many questions because obviously you're going to raise a lot of red flags among, you know, health regulators and science-minded people. So let's ask the first question. How do you know that this system works?
Well, self-validation. I mean, anybody that comes inside and spends 2 hours in this system in one of the recliners is going to say, what can they expect? I don't know. Come and find out for yourself. Whatever's going on inside the human body, the thing of it is, Mike, we have long forgotten that God gave this, God made no mistakes, no accidents, a perfect working universe and ecosystem here. Our body has the power to cure everything, to heal itself of everything. We can't in this environment where they're spreading toxins, neurotoxins, carcinogens, metals from the air, bringing it inside of our homes in every way, shape, or form, hammering us with 5G technology. Our immune systems are being pounded. And then on top of that, they bring in chemotherapy and things that completely obliterate your immune system, telling you that these chemicals that they have people wearing hazmats while they're manufacturing them, that to inject them in your body is going to actually do you some good. Look, I can't make claims on what this has done for other people. All I can do is reiterate what they have said has happened for them. And I know it seems somewhat surreal to hear these kind of stories, but I tell people, don't take my word for any of this. Come to Colleyville, Texas. Come and spend time in there. We had 250 people in there a couple of months ago. We had Dr. Brian Artis come in and Vandersteel came in. We had an event there. Dr. Sandra Rose, Michael, Jason Shirka, Mike Jaco, a number of people came there for a 2-day event. And being inside that event while we are doing this type of a seminar event, they all walked away saying whatever they had to say, whatever they felt as a response for their own biochemistry, their own body systems, they're all different. They're all unique. Their vision changed. My bus driver said he had to get rid of his glasses after being there for 3 days. He was there for setup. He was there for the events, running sound systems. And he said, I got to get new glasses because my glasses are making my vision blurry. That's common. Wow. That's stuff that happens all the time.
Let me actually give you kind of an adjacent endorsement of the general category of this. You called it, I think, conjugated photonic energy. Was that the term you used?
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are terms that I can articulate. But don't ask me about the science. That's why I got to get Dr. Sandra.
No, I hear you. Michael, I hear you. Let me share the story with you in the audience. Now, Scott, about a little over 2 months ago, about 9 weeks ago, I almost severed my finger, my index finger, almost had it cut off. Now, you wouldn't know that, but let me show you, show my screen. I want to show you the deep, deep laceration. That's my finger.
Holy cow.
Almost cut off. And I suffered total laceration of the lateral ligaments. Blood vessels and nerves were completely severed. This was after I mostly stopped the bleeding. I had a partial laceration of the primary ligament under the bottom of the finger here, and I lost quite a bit of feeling in the fingertip. Okay, that was about 9 weeks ago. Scott, I used, not only did I use infrared light, 850 nanometer wavelength light, I use a 908 nanometer laser with daily treatments on the finger. I used also a tuning fork. Now, a tuning fork, you know, you hit it, and then you hold the tuning fork on the joints, and it broadcasts actual kinetic ultrasonic or high, you know, high-frequency sound throughout the bones and throughout the tissues that reawakens zombie cells. There's good science already published on that. So these ultrasonic frequencies actually awaken what are called senescent cells. And then I also consume lion's mane mushroom, which is known as an herb that rebuilds nerves. Okay. And plus I did all my normal, you know, superfoods and all this kind of stuff that I do every day. Scott, let me right here, right now. There's my finger almost fully healed. I'm doing Rubik's Cube again. I can do all the cubing now without any problem whatsoever. It's almost fully healed. Scott, no one can believe that this finger was almost cut off 9 weeks ago. Here it is. Here, do you see any giant, horrible scars?
These are the technologies, Mike, that people are starting to become aware of. It's pretty amazing I totally believe that because it's, you know, you've been on a discovery path longer than I have with things like this, and you've seen these things that can do, you know, can do amazing things for the human body. It's just we've never been able to break out of it. And someone like you, if you talk about a tuning fork and sound, those people would say that's crazy. But you know,
they just
what?
Don't know. They don't know. It's the secret, man.
It absolutely is. It really is. It's
no,
the secret.
I don't mean to occupy the time. I mean, we're talking about your clinic here. We'll get right back to that. But I got to tell you, I went to. Here it is. Here's your website. I went to an orthopedic doctor a few weeks after this, and I showed him the healing progress. And not only did he tell me this would normally take 6 months to heal. Okay, it's been a little over 2 months. Not only did he tell me it takes 6 months to heal, he couldn't believe that the healing had taken place already in like, what was like 4 or 5 weeks whenever I visited him. He was like, there's no way that this injury was only that many weeks ago. I said, yeah. And he said, you didn't go to the emergency room? No. How come you didn't go to the emergency room? How come you don't have infections? Let me explain who I am, first of all. like no infection, no pain, no, virtually no scars. And man, I'm telling you, Scott, I don't know how your Terra Quantum Recharge technology works. I don't know anything about it directly, but I do know that vibrational medicine is real. And I know that without it, I probably wouldn't have this finger. So I can give this other finger to the establishment. Look, if I had gone the traditional route, the healing would not have happened like this. So whatever you're on to, Scott, I'm telling you folks, check it out, because this area of medicine is a real thing.
Yeah, I've had multiple people, once they left that center, I've gotten probably a dozen people instantly ask me, are you interested in franchising the model you built? And I'm like, you know, they're obviously longer term plans, but give me a minute so I can, you know, sort of make sure the system that we have in place in terms of service delivery and all those things can run with a smooth flow. But look, like I've said this before, the disadvantage we're at is we don't have the numbers, but we're getting them. And I'm being obviously very forward and provocative on this, but I don't have to be much longer because we have people driving 9 and 10 hours one way to come in to Dallas when they have systems closer, but they drive that far so they can come in and spend an overnight session. We have an overnight session. We run specials throughout the course of July, $17.76 per hour, which is about $200 for an evening. We did it on the 4th of July and it was so successful.
Wow.
People were like, my God, I'm getting 11 hours in this thing in a incredibly comfortable recliner or one of the beds for $200, 11 hours. And Chris Burgard came in twice. He's the one that did Capital Punishment that they shut down, during the border wall movie right now with Tom Hamm and Trump's ICE director. His wife, we thought she was having a heart attack at an event Dave Scarlett had in East Texas that I spoke at 2.5 months ago. Took her to the hospital that day. She was working the event, thought she was having a heart attack, and ended up being, she has a mitral valve prolapse. And as the tests were indicating, it looked like she may be heading for surgery. And I said to Chris, I said, look, this place isn't open. Trust me, get her in this system. Come in on the weekends, spend time, won't cost you anything. We're not open. So they come in 2 weekends in a row on a Sunday, 5.5 hours each for a total of 11 hours. And about 2 weeks after that second session, he called me to tell me, he said, we just got the latest round of tests, for Lisa. And he said, I thought you'd want to hear this. I said, what'd they say? They said, well, whatever fitness regimen, your cardiologist said, whatever fitness regimen you're on, keep doing it because it's working.
Right.
So it's, you know, the proof is in the people that have these amazing experiences. So, like I said, people just need to keep their mind open and, you know, have some time in the system and see what happens for them.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a very simple offer to say, look, maybe we don't understand all the ramifications yet of this technology and how it works, but it's non-invasive. There's no risk of harm. It's pleasant. Come try it. See what you experience, because we know that there's more to health than just, you know, physical joints and flesh and tissues and whatever and tendons. There's the physiological side to health. There's also the mind-body aspect. There's the spiritual aspect. There's, you know, an energy system that flows throughout the body. One of the things, in fact, just to reiterate that, one of the things that I discovered, you know, with healing this finger, which is almost 100% healed now, is that, you know, it even grew back the nerves, Scott. I mean, I grew back the nerves and I ended up with hypersensitivity on the finger, which is like, I have a feeling that's 150% more sensitive than where it was before the injury. So the nerves grew back more, like I have like the fingertip sensitivity of a 20-year-old or something now. So there was actually, in my experience, there was like a rejuvenation, almost like an anti-aging effect of having to regrow nerves. And the body knows how to do that. That's the thing, right? The body's got wisdom. The body knows how to heal, but sometimes it's just got to be given the right kind of activation of its own innate healing potential. Is that you think, an accurate description of maybe what your clinic is activating in people?
Yeah, that's my belief. And like I said, from the scientific standpoint, I spent 2 years around Dr. Sandra. And honestly, my absorption of the information for the first year was very passive. I mean, not that I discounted or didn't believe. The first time I went into her system in Las Vegas, we had a fundraising event there, I think. First time I'd been there, and she said, just go on in the bedroom there. It's off the kitchen, and just go sit in there. There's two comfortable chairs and then the bed in there, and there's a 16-unit system, four in each corner. So I just sat in there for about an hour and a half. After about 20 minutes, a few other people came in, sitting on the bed, laying across the bed, sitting in a room. We kind of gathered in there, and I was in there for an hour and a half. And typically, I'm flaming out midnight or after. And I just remember I left and I went come out to the bus, and it was like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, why am I not tired? That just doesn't make sense. So that was the first thing. And I thought, well, this kind of sucks. I really need to go to bed and get some sleep. But that was the first thing that I noticed. The second thing is, because of all these injuries that I have, when I wake up in the morning, the worst injury that bothers me is that my uninjured right leg is probably part of me. It's not injured. So I limp. I'm going to get up, walk across her kitchen to the bathroom out there. I'm limping. I mean, I get up in the morning. I'm limping. And so I get up in the morning and I just walk to the bathroom like I had no knee problem. Uh-huh. I was like, wow, this is pretty, still wasn't jumping on it. It just, you know, over a little bit of time, it was obvious to me. But what has become even more, conclusive and exciting is, look, I've got a center that we have. People just are coming to it, flocking to it. And I get to hear this from people. I get to hear it every time I'm there. Somebody coming out all excited for what is changing in their system. And again, I always remind them, just understand something. You have more power than you can imagine. And this is showing you, because you're getting charged with hyper healthy energy, which is good, and affecting light, sound, scalar waves, power the body to do what it does. It's a miracle healing machine. It's part of the universe. So it's fun. It's the most exciting thing I think I've been on in my life.
I would say too, I mean, our bodies are miracle healing machines, and I can't help but think that a lot of the electromagnetic interference of 5G is destroying people's lives. In fact, someone that I interviewed sent me this long message last night that they didn't want to talk about on air, but privately, and of course I can't say who it is, but they were giving me this experience about how he and his wife were absolutely devastated when 5G got set up in their area. They kind of lived out in a rural area. 5G appeared, and then they all got horribly sick. And every time they would leave, they would heal. They'd come back and they would get horribly sick again. And it all started with just the 5G. And it's not just 5G, as you know, there's other electromagnetic interference. And you know, I got to think, Scott, I mean, I'm just guessing, but if we were simply exposed to more structured, harmonic electromagnetic information instead of the chaos that is broadcast out there, that alone might have the ability to help our bodies, you know, reorganize how things are functioning, reorganize our own internal electromagnetic structure. You think that's part of it?
I truly believe it. I mean, look, Mike, the pollution they put out there, I've talked to enough of the same PhD scientists and doctors, MDs, and researchers that you've been talking to as well. They're telling us what this 5G technology is doing to the human body. It's an activation weapon for bioweapons they've hit us with, graphene, and whatever other substances are in these metals that are inside these vaccines. All these things are being manipulated by this type of frequency. Look, how many times have we seen people in any area near these massive power plants or these relay centers for power where the cancer rates are off the chart? I mean, there's obviously a negative effect coming from that side of energy projection. Look, they've done it with sound, they've done it with music, they've adjusted the hertz. And you know this because you're a musician. how they've changed whatever hertz we're listening to because it brings a negative frequency to it. They've been using these kind of weapons against us for a very long time.
That's true.
We're turning the tables now to use the same type of technology and using it as a weapon against their model. That's why I call it wellness warfare. The thing of it is, the more I'm traveling around right now for, you know, events that I do, but I'm also doing several events at EE Systems around the country. And again, my own time, I fund my own operation out of my own pocket. It's no donations or sponsors. And I spend time speaking for free everywhere around the country out of my pocket. I'm now going to the EE centers around the country and speaking for them, showing up to draw people to their centers to show these in my own backyard. We've got three or four in the Dallas area that I'm promoting all the time. Why? I'm explaining to people, look, we got to drive business benevolence back into this world, into this country where we want everybody to win. Number one, there's enough winning to go around for everybody. Number two, we need all these businesses that are opening these bioscaler centers to succeed. Why? You know what they're going to do. They've got $1 trillion at stake. They're not going to sit back and say nothing, do nothing. We need to make sure when they come that if it's not because there's not enough of us that open these centers, you got millions of people that are going to say, you know what? Bullshit. I don't care what you say in your FDA rules or whatever. My wife is here today. Nothing was helping her, but she's here today and we credit her the system. Or all yeah. these things that people are dealing with. When we, the people, stand up and collectively rise and say, I don't care what you have written down on a piece of paper in a back room with your other criminal buddies, ain't going to fly here anymore.
Yeah, this is about health freedom and being able to make your own choice about what kind of interventions or treatments that you want to experience. Now, you know, looking at your facility there with all those, all the chairs in that room, I know what the pharmaceutical cartels want that to be. Yeah, I'm showing it on my screen right now. You see all those chairs there? What they want is instead of this being a healing center, they want a patient in every chair with them dripping chemotherapy poison into their veins, because that's how the cancer centers operate. They'll put a patient in every chair, drip them with actual death poison that's called chemotherapy, and then they will bill the insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid, and yeah, they'll get paid, they'll make millions of dollars. And there was one cancer doctor, Dr. Fareed Fattah, who's currently in prison because he would diagnose everybody with cancer. Anybody that walked through his door, oh, you have cancer. Get in the chair, start dripping you with poison, and he was collecting money by the minute by poisoning people to death. But that was all okay under the Western medical system. That was all allowed. Can you believe that? If you poison people, then it would be okay with the system. But if you heal people, not okay.
Well, you know, you make a point like this, Mike, and the great thing about what this period of time we just came through, and by the way, I just want to correct this. This is not a bioscalar healing center. It's a bioscalar wellness center. I don't want those guys trying to say, hey, you're making a claim that this, it's not a healing center. So they come to me that I'm like, oh, go rewind it. Bioscalar wellness center. How do you become, you know, well? But look what they've done. They've turned the hospital system into the 21st century killing fields. And
absolutely.
It took this time for people to realize what exactly just happened here. It's turned into a murder machine. Big Pharma, the medical system, has turned into a murder machine. My dad was taken out over here just over the mountain of Penn State when he went down. They kept these all of us away from these people, starved them out. I mean, everything that they did to murder how many of these people? And anybody that says that's a little too provocative of language, it's the truth. If somebody doesn't say it, it's like Reagan when he called the Soviet Union evil empire. Even the people on the right, well, you can't talk like that. He said, look, if you don't tell them, how will they know? And you have to spell this out to people. Not that we have to today, Mike. Everybody around the country now realizes what just went on here. Now there's those people that are still, I think, permanently lobotomized that actually think that there's a threat. I got friends in California, a lot of people in their family, 13 kids, six are nurses. And he told me, he's like, we are. He's a chiropractor, actually. He was one of 13 that didn't get the vaccine. He said, my sister still believes she's a hero in the front line. She's talking about all the body bags. She does. He says, all the body bags that they have to keep on stock in Los Angeles because the death rate is staggering. She thinks that they're heroes on the front line, saving people from this horrible, you know, quote unquote virus killing people. when she can't get it in her head, they're the ones killing people.
Yeah.
It's incredible to
yeah.
me that some people are never going to wake.
All right, let me jump in though, just in the interest of time here. So first of all, I just want to reiterate, you're not making any claims of medicine or curing or treating any disease or condition. You're just saying this is a wellness center. Come in, relax, try it, see what it does for you. Is that fair?
Yeah, and then come and tell me the stories of what just happened to you. We love that because, you know, we have a day where we have autistic kids come in that are work at the marketplace next door. We just want them to come in and spend time there, no charge, and let their parents see what can happen. But I had a lady who had her daughter 17 years old, and as she describes her, virtually catatonic. And her daughter now, after the first session, started to behave in ways she never has. Now she's so, she said she's, I had her on a show on a Monday night, Tipping Point show explaining this. She was walking through. I said, come over here. I was broadcasting from right there. I sat her down right beside me. I said, tell the audience here what it's been like for your daughter, bringing your autistic daughter in here. And she went into this story and people were like, oh my God, she's done everything imaginable for 17 years of this girl's life. All the top autism healers or treatment people. And nutrition unit, she's done it all trying to help her daughter. And she said, before you even opened, I knew you were coming here and I was banging on your doors because I knew what this was. And I, you know, she heard a lot, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and other people talk about it. And she got her in here. Now they come every week, multiple times a week because now her daughter, she said, is saying things. She goes, I took her to sit in her chair and I went over to say something and her daughter went like this and goes, stop. Actually spoke like, leave me alone. And she said, that is what's going on in this field, what it's doing to the body. It's amazing.
Wow. Okay. And amazing. Then next question, where can people actually experience this for themselves and see what it's like?
I would, if anybody's, there's 300 centers now around the world. There's probably 200 in the United States. If you, people go to Unified Healing, it's UNIFYD healing.com. You'll see a map of where the centers are in the United States. Yeah. So if you go to this Unified Healing, UNIFYD healing.com, you'll find, you can run a search and find where there may be a center in your area.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So there's, you said there's a couple hundred in the United States.
I think there's 200 in the US.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't have the map actually functioning here because I think I've banned things from running on this, but whatever. It's all good. The other thing, Scott, I gotta ask you this because it's driving me nuts, but you're in your touring bus, which looks pretty awesome, but what is the mirror setup you have there? There's a mirror behind you, obviously, and I can't quite figure out the angle of that mirror and how, it's just driving me nuts. Like, what is that?
Okay, so this mirror right here.
Yeah.
Right, that mirror is showing, I have the slide outs out on the bus. You know, you got two slide outs when you park the bus, you open up the front, you open up the bedroom. So that door you see right there, if I pull that door open, that's into the cockpit, the cabin, the front where the pilot, the co-pilot seats are.
Okay.
And then you go, so if I walk toward that door and I took a right hand turn, I'm going down the steps out the bus.
Got it.
Back here is the hallway that goes this way. You see those curtains right there. This has six bunks right there, three on each side.
Wow.
That's for my security team. My security team sleeps on the bunk. And then I've got a master bedroom in the back with a tile shower, its own bathroom, and it pops out into a much bigger bedroom back there. So it's my highway Hilton. When I travel, I don't do hotels. I don't need to. I stay right here. We call her Cinderella. When I first had her back, the bus backed out of the shop and we put the whole Patriot Street Fighter rap on it. I just happened to drop it on Telegram and I just put a statement on there. I said, well, folks, looks like Cinderella's ready for the dance. And ever since that time, my audience has branded the bus Cinderella. So everybody says, well, hey, are you taking Cinderella to this event? My family refers to her as Cinderella. So she's Cinderella.
Okay, nice. All right. And then, you give out your main website and social media accounts and things where people can find you.
Yeah, PatriotStreetFighter.com obviously is where you can get to my Telegram channel. You can get to my Rumble channel, Brighteon, BitChute, and Twitter, all those things. So that's the easiest place to find me is PatriotStreetFighter.com. Forget YouTube. I've been taken down 38 times. So that's the old bus there.
Oh, yeah.
That changed.
Okay.
The old bus. There was a George Magazine article when I got on the cover with Donald Trump on the very first George Magazine that came out. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. All right. Well, cool. And, look, I don't have much time to share the news with you, but let me just show you real quick.
Yes.
This app here is called Cordal, and this is a peer-to-peer distributed decentralized app. It's free to download and run, you know, Cordal.com here. I interviewed the founders. We funded the development of Brighteon on Cordal, and it's done. And we're announcing it actually later this week. You can go to Q Apps, and right here you can just search for Brighteon, and you can download and install the Brighteon app. I gotta say, Scott, everything you upload to Brighteon soon, as all the ingestion is expanded to all the channels, it will be forever encoded in this Cordal blockchain and distributed, and will be entirely uncensorable because there are no central servers that run this. So the video files themselves are shared across the nodes that run this.
So all my videos, because all of my work is constantly going to Brighteon, so all of my stuff is protected.
It's about to be. Currently, we're only ingesting two channels, but we're about to expand it to lots of other channels, including yours. So within a couple of weeks, all your videos will be forever uncensorable. Everything that's on Brighteon. Yeah. It'll be accessible through this app.
That's incredible, man. I've always worried about that. Like if Rumble goes down, there's some funny things I see going on over there. And I just thought, somebody asked me, what are you going to do if Rumble actually censors you? I'm like, I got Brighteon. I'll never be taken down at Brighteon.
Yeah.
We're solid, but now we're more solid than I could have imagined.
This is even better. So awesome. Yeah, even if the government seizes the Brighteon domain name or takes down the Brighteon servers, or if they do the internet kill switch and maybe they say you can only access, you know, government approved websites or something because we're in a war, who knows? Well, this Cordal system, again, it's free to use. Go to cordal.org, Q-O-R-T-A-L, free, completely free. This bypasses all centralized control over domain names, DNS servers, and government censorship. And I should say, Scott, we're releasing the open source code of this too for free so other people can take our app and they can build their own distribution systems on this platform. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. I know you appreciate the implications of it. It's a big deal.
Is Cordal your application?
No. I met the Cordal people, but then we funded the Brighteon app on Cordal. So we paid for all the development and then we're releasing it as open source.
When's it going to happen? Soon?
Well, the app is live now and the open source code, we're probably going to deposit that on GitHub within a couple of weeks. So we're just organizing the code, but it's all done. The app is working and we're also building, you're going to love this, the next app we're building on this platform is an emergency broadcast system that will also be open source. So that's something you might want to use as well. I'll privately call you up and tell you about that when we have it ready.
100%. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One last question before you have to take off your next show. What's the title of the latest rap song? I'm just curious.
Well, I was working on a song called I'm Sorry Y'all Had to See That Too. And that song was somewhat about the child sex trafficking and the grooming and the pedophilia. But honestly, Scott, I got so distracted with dealing with, you know, business operations. You know how this goes. I couldn't finish the song. So that's on pause until I get, I don't know, like a Christmas break or something. We'll see.
Well, I would just say to your audience, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to Mike Adams and you don't know this by now, you have got to go to, I think it's healthranger.com and read the bio. you're going to need 20 minutes. When you read it, you're going to be blown away and you're going to discover some amazing stuff about this man. I'm always grateful for your time, Mike, and certainly to be on Brighteon on a channel with you. And, you know, you're one of my favorite people out there. I credit you with really jump-starting this Patriot Street Fighter machine right out of the gate. So it's always going to be a lot of love for Mike Adams.
Well, thank you, Scott, and right back at you. And it's been an amazing few years since you came on the scene right after the rigged election of 2020. I mean, actually right during that rigging is when I first became aware of you. And since then, man, you've been like a rocket on fire just going. I regret, I do need to wrap this up. But we'll talk again soon. I want to encourage people to check out your new clinic. Let me get the website for that again. Let's see. What is it?
Terra, T-E-R-R-A, QuantumRecharge.com.
Terra QuantumRecharge.com. And check it out, folks, and give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. And then, of course, PatriotStreetFighter.com right here. So thank you so much, Scott. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Had a lot of fun today. And best of luck with you, with your business. And keep us posted. We'll talk again soon about other issues like emergency broadcast systems.
Thank you. I'd like to get you on Patriot Street Fighter pretty quick. I'll reach out to your people and get a return appearance there because I know you got some great intel to drop on us as well.
Happy to join. Yeah, I do. I've got some good stuff coming up. Okay. All right. Well, take care, Scott. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank all of you for watching. Of course, Mike Adams here with Scott McKay. And this is all on Brighteon.com. And don't forget about, like I said, the Brighteon app now is on Cordal.org, the peer-to-peer decentralized platform that's free. It's just completely free to use. I don't even think you can spend any money on there, even if you wanted to. It's just everything's just free. It's all about info. But check out PatriotStreetFighter.com. Check out Scott's new clinic in these 200 areas, I guess, including major cities in Texas. I'll have to visit one and see what it's like. But thank you for watching today. God bless you all, and God bless America. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Thank you for your support. And I don't know if you know about this, so I put them on my desk here today. CardioClear, which is on the right there, it's a really amazing formula that contains arjuna bark and hawthorn berry powder. And as the name implies, it helps support your normal cardiovascular health in some pretty extraordinary ways. If you look at the ingredients and look up what those things can do to help support your health, I think you'll be, you know, really astonished and pleasantly surprised. So check that out, CardioClear, HealthRangerStore.com. And then the other product we have there is Mobility, which is MSM. And, you know, I have a personal testimonial about this Mobility. As you know, a little over 2 months ago, I nearly severed my index finger here, you know, almost cut it off. And I think I have the video here. What happened to my finger? I almost lost it, severed the nerves and blood vessels and had a very serious accident. And that was just a little bit over 2 months ago. And, you know, I treated it with a number of different things, sound and light and nutrition, and also MSM, I believe, helps support mobility. So here I am today with restored mobility. I can do all these things with my fingers that would not have been possible, I think, without outstanding nutrition and healing. And we take that for granted when we almost lose our fingers or hands. And I quite seriously almost lost my finger. But I do believe that nutrition has an important role in helping the body heal itself. And I'm not saying that any of this is a substitute for going to the ER. You know, if you almost cut your finger off or something, you should probably go to the ER and you should get emergency treatment. But in your healing process, to support your body's natural ability to heal itself with nutrition, I think is critically important. And I'm happy to report that thanks to nutrition, my body regrew the nerves, the ligaments, the blood vessels. I restored feeling in my fingertip. And on my way to eventually almost a near 100% recovery in strength. And I couldn't have done it without nutrition, frankly. I couldn't have done it without, well, the healing power of nature and God also, by the way. So if that makes sense to you and you want to support your nutrition and your healing and your immune system and, you know, your natural cardiovascular health and so on, visit us at HealthRangerStore.com. If you go to our website, we have an amazing selection of different products. I mean, here's pea protein powder. That's all organic. We've got organic monk fruit extract. See, Seven Treasures mushroom powder and capsules. That's amazing. Very healing. Organic broccoli sprouts powder. Organic hard red wheat berries. This is going to be important with the wheat prices spiking because of what's happening in Ukraine. Premium Manuka honey. Oh yeah, I use a skin cream on my wound here that had Manuka honey in it as well. And that's why there's virtually no scarring. I mean, people look at this and they're amazed. They're like, I can't even see, or I can barely see any kind of a scar. Can you see any horrendous scar there? No. It's crazy. Well, so yeah, I use Manuka honey and I used my colloidal silver, and I use essential oils. I use frankincense oil and a bunch of other stuff as well. And the healing is real. It's almost miraculous, but it's really not. It's just, it's cause and effect. You use the right things, your body can heal. So thank you for your support, healthrangerstore.com. And if you suffered an injury or have a condition, or if you have any kind of health challenge of any kind, I pray for your recovery and your wellness as well. Thank you for your support. Take care.